I'd ask you to turn again, please, to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, that portion of Scripture we read earlier. Just with God's Word open before us, let us bow together in a short word of prayer. Father, we do thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us already in our gathering tonight. The psalmist could say that in Thy presence there is fullness of joy. There's pleasures forevermore at Thy right hand. And Father, we do confess, O God, there's no better place for us to be in the evening of Thy day than in Thy house with Thy saints praising the Lord. Father, we thank Thee that when we praise the Lord on earth, we're but preparing for our praise in heaven. And Lord, our prayer would be that even every soul in this meeting, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, that they would be prepared for heaven. That they would be prepared for eternity. That they would know God as their heavenly Father. That they would know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their sins forgiven. And Lord, we realize, O God, that as far as this work is concerned, that man is hopeless in and of himself. Yet, Father, we thank Thee that Christ is all in all. And Father, we pray tonight that Thou would use Thine own word to save precious souls. And Lord, use Thy word to quicken souls unto life eternal. By Thy Holy Spirit, breathe upon the sacred page tonight. And may men and women and young people be born again of the Spirit of God. May they be washed in the blood of Christ. And may they be prepared for heaven and for glory. Bless this meeting to this end. Pour out Thy Spirit, O God, upon preacher and upon congregation alike. Meet the need of every heart and life. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory. Amen and amen. Our text for this evening that we want to really base our remarks around is the verse number 24 of Acts chapter 11. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, "But he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." Now, two of the greatest heroes of early church history in the British Isles are Columba, the Apostle of Scotland, and Patrick, the Apostle of Ireland. It's interesting to note that Columba was born in County Donegal around the year 521 AD, and by God's grace in his life was to labour faithfully over in the land of Scotland. However, on the other hand, Patrick, he was born in the land of Scotland. It was reckoned around the year 372 AD. And by God's grace, he was to labour for God in the land of Ireland. This being St. Patrick's Day, it is Patrick, the Apostle of Ireland, that I want us to consider and to look at this evening. And my, if there is one verse which I believe was to sum up and to describe the ministry of this remarkable man of God in the early Church of Christ in this land, I believe it is the words here of verse 24 of Acts chapter 11. Words that were spoken in the record of Barnabas of old, but words which also can be applied, I believe, very definitely to the life and to the testimony of Patrick, the Apostle of Ireland. The verse says, "For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." This was the life, the testimony of Barnabas. And what an example Barnabas is to every Christian, to every child of God to follow. That our lives would be marked by a good testimony, that our lives would be full of the Holy Spirit. And that through our witness, others would be pointed to Christ. But by this also can be said so of Patrick as well. Yes, he was a good man. A man, no doubt, who was anointed of God, the Holy Spirit. And a man who in his day and generation that God used to appoint others to the Lord and Jesus Christ. Now, we live in a day when Roman Catholicism and ecumenical religion has hijacked Patrick for their own gains and for their own false teaching. And by that false teaching of the system of Antichrist, many fables and indeed many superstitions are now declared in connection with the life of Patrick of Ireland. Well, such erroneous teaching has no place whatsoever in the true Patrick, the Apostle of Ireland. Patrick was born into a godly family in a said near the place of Kilpatrick in Dumbarton in the land of Scotland. His father and grandfather were both ministers of the gospel in the early church. And at the age of 15, he was captured by robbers and he was taken as a slave over here to the land of Ireland. As a slave, he ended up herding flocks around Slemish Mountain in the county of Antrim. Indeed, it is while he was here as a slave that he learned the native language. He also developed a great interest and a great desire for the welfare and the well-being of the people of Ireland. After some 6 years of captivity, he was able to escape back to Scotland and back to his home and back to his family. However, some 2 years later, after his captivity, he was to return to the land of Ireland with a great burden to reach the people of this entire island with the gospel. And my, he labored faithfully for God till his dying day in the year A.D. 493 on the 17th of March. This being St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March, it marks the passing from this scene of time for Patrick into the great eternity of God. Now, what were the result of his labors? The result of his labors was that large parts of Ireland in his day were brought under the influence of the gospel. As a result of his faithful labors for Christ, some 365 Celtic churches were established, each one of them with a teaching elder, with a minister, a pastor, to preach the word of God. By numerous occasions, he was to baptize chiefs from Dublin and from Munster who were saved by the grace of God. He also baptized 7 sons from one of the chiefs of Connacht. And my, he was also to write his confession and a letter to the Christian church. And these writings, when they are studied, they prove to you that Patrick was a faithful and a devoted servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, dear people, these are but some of the facts concerning this great servant of God from a bygone era. And tonight, as we would look at the life of this man, there are 3 important lessons I want you to note from his life. And I trust tonight, as we consider these lessons, that if you're still not saved, oh, that you would be challenged by the life and the testimony of this remarkable man of God to come to Christ yourself and to trust him as your own and personal Savior. And if you are a Christian tonight, as we look at this man as well, I trust that you'll be challenged to give your life to the gospel, to give your life to the cause of Christ, even as it was with Patrick in the days of old. First of all, tonight I want you to consider with me Patrick's godly testimony. My, whenever he was a young man and a slave, Patrick came to know and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. Speaking of his own captivity here in Ireland, this is what he said. He said, "There the Lord opened the sense of my unbelief, that even though late I should remember my sins and be converted with my whole heart unto the Lord my God." Men and women, young people, Patrick was converted to Christ. He had a saving experience of the grace of God in his life and in his soul. Let me ask you tonight, my friend, how is it with you in this gathering? Let me ask, are you converted to Christ? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Are you saved tonight by the grace of God? Has your sins been washed away by the blood of Christ? Are you ready for the day of judgment? Are you ready for the second coming of Christ? This is how it was with Patrick. He was saved by the grace of God, born again of the Spirit of God. His sins are washed away in the blood of Christ. He was saved and ready for the day of judgment, for the coming again of our Savior in power and in great glory. Man, woman, young person, let me say to you tonight, if you are to be saved, you must come to that place before God. Will you acknowledge your need as a sinner, even like Patrick of old, and before God? The Bible says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, that you would see yourself as a sinner, lost and undone before God. That's the first step to conversion. Know that you would see the consequences of your sin. That if your sin is not dealt with, your sin will take you down to a lost eternity in hell. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. My friend, if you are to be saved, you must repent of your sin. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted. There must be a turning away from sin and a turning to Christ. An embracing of Christ, a laying hold upon Christ and trusting in His finished work for the salvation of your soul and the forgiveness of all of your sins. This is how it was with Patrick of old. He trusted Christ. He accepted Christ as his Savior. Tell me, friend, as you think of him on this St. Patrick's night, will you not do the same? Will you not lay hold upon Christ and trust him as your Savior? Turning your Bible over there to Acts chapter 16. Look with me at the verse number 30. And the verse number 31. Here you have the Philippian jailer before Paul and Silas. He's concerned about his sin. He's concerned about his soul. He is concerned about his eternity. And he says to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas proclaim, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. They pointed him to Christ, the Lamb of God. If you're to be saved, saved like Patrick of old, then you must believe on Christ, trust in his finished work. Friend, let me say to you this evening, you cannot be saved by your good works, no matter how good those works are. You cannot be saved by your religion, no matter how orthodox your religion or your church may be. You must forsake every false refuge of man, and you must come to trust in Christ and to rest upon Him alone. Does He not say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The hymn writer got it right, for he said, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. And if you're to be saved, you can only be saved by the way of the cross, by the cross work of Christ. This is how it was with Patrick. He trusted Christ. He laid up hold upon Christ and trusted Him as Savior. But not only was he saved by faith in Christ as Savior, Patrick was one who had an anchor. Yes, an anchor of comfort during his days of adversity and during his days of captivity. You see, in having Christ as a Savior, as a young man, he had a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Mine a hymn that he penned and he wrote himself, it speaks of that relationship that he had with Christ. Patrick, speaking of Christ as a Savior, said this. He said, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, and Christ above me, Christ at my right hand, Christ at my left hand. He knew that in having Christ as a Savior, he had one who would never leave him nor forsake him, one who would help him in all the storms and the difficulties of life. Likewise, dear friend, whenever you come to trust Christ as Savior, you too will have a friend indeed. A friend who will not fail you, a friend who will not forsake you, a friend to help you in all the trials of life. Turning your Bible over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and look with me there at the verses 5 and 6 of that great chapter. And here the final part of verse 5 and verse 6, it speaks of the great relationship that Christ has with His people who are saved, the friendship that there is there, the bond that there is between Christ and His people. Paul says there, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Friend, when you're saved, that's the promise of Christ to you. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yes, you'll be able to say with Paul of old, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That's how it was with young Patrick. He rested upon the Lord, His help, His grace, His friendship day by day. My friend, it'll be the same with you when you come to trust in Christ. Why, as the captain of your salvation through Christ, you'll know all your sins forgiven. The psalmist David could say, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Why, as the captain of your salvation, the Lord will be your guide in life. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. As the captain of your salvation, He shall be your strength. David could say, the Lord is the strength of my life. As the captain of your salvation, He will be your protector. The Bible says the Lord is a shield. He will be present with you in life. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am with you always. As the captain of your salvation, He will keep you unto life eternal. What's His promise to all whom He sees? In John chapter 10 and the verse 28, He says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This is how it was with Patrick. Having Christ as his Savior, Christ was his guide. Christ was his strength. Christ was his protector. Christ was with him. Christ was one who would keep him. Who would keep him unto life eternal. Friend, if you're to have that hope, then you must surrender to Christ, to the claims of the gospel, and embrace Christ and accept Him and trust Him as your Savior. Yes, we see Patrick's godly testimony. A young man converted, saved by the grace of God. But the second thing to note about his life is not only his godly testimony, but it is also his burden for prayer. He was a man of prayer. Speaking of his prayer life as a slave, even over here in Ireland, this is what he said. He said, I used to stay in the woods and on the mountain. I prayed frequently. The love and fear of God and faith in Him increased so much. And the spirit of prayer grew so strong in me that I often prayed more than 20 times in the day and almost often in the night season as well. I frequently rose to prayer in the woods before daylight, in rain and frost and snow. I feared no evil, nor was there any sloth in me. I felt that God was with me. He was a man who had a burden to pray, a man who had a spirit to pray. Such words show that this was a young man who loved the place of prayer, who loved the face of God at the throne of grace. Indeed, later on in his own writings, he testified how it was through answer to prayer that he was to escape as a slave and to make his way back to Scotland. His life was marked by prayer. Even as a young captive boy, young man here in Ireland, my Patrick, I believe, is similar to the spirit of Daniel. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 6 and the verse number 10. Here you read of Daniel, a young man in captivity as well, down in Babylon. But he was a Christian, and his life was marked by prayer. Look at verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being open in his chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel's life was marked by prayer, morning, noon and night. And that was the spirit of Patrick as a young man. He had a burden, a passion to pray, to seek God, to call upon his God for help in his Christian life and witness. Now you can say of Patrick, he was a man who heeded the very words of Christ in the Gospel of Luke, who said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now it has rightly been said that prayer and pains can do anything. People, as we said this morning, prayer changes things. Now there is power in prayer. You read your Bible and you'll see how true prayer, seas have been divided. My flowing rivers have been made to roll up. Flinty rocks have gushed with water. My, the flames have been quenched. Lions have been muzzled. My, the very moon and the sun have been stopped in their courses through the prayers of God's people. How powerful is prayer. My Patrick was one who lived and labored in the spirit of prayer. That was the mark of his life. And my, what an example he is for all to follow. For you and I to follow in this service this evening. Friend, let me ask you tonight, are you following Patrick in the example of his prayer life? Yes, it is through the prayer of faith that you can be saved by calling upon the Lord in faith. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But once you are saved, you're to give yourself to prayer. The Bible says we are to pray without ceasing. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In the Psalm number 27, the Lord says to all his people, he says, seek ye my face. Think of David's testimony. Turn back there to Psalm 55 and to the verse number 17 of that Psalm. Look at what he says. He says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. David was like Patrick of old. He gave himself to prayer. He gave himself to calling upon the Lord. Patrick was saved by the grace of God. But his writings relate and show that he was a man of prayer. Christian, let me ask you tonight, how is it with you? How's your prayer life tonight? Christian, if you are to grow in grace, it's vital that you pray. It's vital that you give yourself to prayer. That daily there be those private times of prayer, of seeking God and of calling upon his name. And why this is why it is important for you as well to be found in the public prayer meeting, for there you will grow and be strengthened and encouraged to go on with God. Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, as you think tonight of Patrick, he was saved. Oh, that each one would be saved by the grace of God in this meeting. But not only was he saved, he was a man of prayer. And oh, that every one of us in this gathering, young people and older people alike, would be men and women of prayer. That we would give ourselves to prayer. To calling upon God. Yes, we see his godly testimony. We see his burden for prayer. And finally tonight I want you to see Patrick's love for the Word of God. That's one of the things that stands out in his life. His love for the Word of God. Commenting on the very creed of Patrick, the Reverend Thomas Hamilton, a highly respected Presbyterian historian of a bygone day, said this, and I quote, he said, it is undeniably and conspicuously Protestant. It is distinctly Trinitarian and thoroughly evangelical. And my such words, such summary really shows that Patrick was a man who had a great love and a great loyalty to the Word of God. And all his writings that remain, there is nothing whatsoever that agrees with the false teaching of Roman Catholicism. In his writings, there is no mention of the Pope. There is no mention of purgatory. There is no mention of confessing sins to the priest as necessary to salvation. In all his writings, there is no mention of transubstantiation, which is a false belief that in the Mass the wafer turns into the body, into the blood of Christ. There is no mention of Mary or of the worship of Mary whatsoever. Yes, in all his writings, there is no reference to any erroneous teaching of the false system of Romanism and of Roman Catholicism. Rather, all his writings are full, simple gospel truths. My, the scriptures are treated with reverence. He speaks of the Word of God as being for the free use of all God's people. And all his teaching, his appeal in all matters of faith and practice is the authority of the written Word of God. He does not rest upon the teaching of popes or councils or fathers. He rests upon the simple statement of the scriptures. Thus saith the Lord. And my, in the chapters of his confession, there are many, many quotations from the Word of God, from the Scriptures themselves. He loved the Word of God. That's what stands out in his life. My, he loved God's Word. In his day, he faithfully wielded the sword of the Spirit, the Bible. And by that, in his day and generation, he was victorious over error and over the superstitions of man. And in his labors here in Ireland, he did all that he could with every fiber of his being to spread the good news of God's Word and to spread the good news of the everlasting gospel of Christ. That was the mark of the man. A man saved by the grace of God. A man who loved the place of prayer. A man who loved the Word of God. And did all that he could to spread the Word of God and the glorious truth of the gospel. Dear friends, tonight, if you and I are to be good ambassadors for Christ, then we too are to love the Word of God. The psalmist David says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." He loved the Word of God, the psalmist. He thought upon it. It was his guide, his lamp, his director in life. My, if we are to love the Word of God, then it ought to be our guide, our director in life as well. Yes, in all matters of faith and practice, the Word of God is to be our guide. The psalmist could say, "The entrance of thy word bringeth light." Let us not only be those who love the Word of God. Let us be those who not only use the Word of God as our guide and seek to obey it, but dear people, if we are to be good ambassadors for Christ, my, if we're to follow in the steps of Patrick of old, then let us do all we can in our day, in our generation, to spread the Word of God, to spread the good seed of the gospel, to do all we can to bring the gospel of Christ to the people of this land and this nation. Turn with me in your Bible back there to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Here you read of the desire of the Apostle Paul. Look with me at verses 15 and 16 of Romans chapter 1. Paul had a burden to go to the city of Rome. In his day it was a city that was filled with violence. It was a city that was full of false religion. It was a city that was a cesspit of iniquity and immorality. But what was Paul's burden for that city? Look at verse 15 of Romans chapter 1. He says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." He knew the gospel was the deed, what was needed for the people in Rome. Look at what he goes on to say in verse number 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Paul knew that there was power in the gospel. There's power in that message to deliver men and women and young people from the penalty of their sin, from the power of sin, and one day from the very presence of sin itself. My, Paul never underestimated the power of the gospel. Patrick had that same vision and burden for the gospel in his day and generation. He knew that the gospel of Christ and the gospel of Christ alone was sufficient to meet the needs of the hearts of the people. Dear men and women, tonight, whatever the ills of our society may be tonight, be they social, be they religious, be they political, be they moral, I tell you tonight, the gospel of Christ is the remedy to all these problems and to a thousand more. And how it is our responsibility as those who are saved by the grace of God until Jesus comes, or until Jesus calls us home to glory, to do all we can to spread the gospel. That's how it was with Paul, with Patrick. That's how it was with Paul. They did all that they could in their day and generation to preach and to teach, to spread the gospel. Christian, that's what God has saved you for. To be an ambassador for Christ. To spread the gospel. Yesterday we were at a funeral of a relative. He was 86. He He was saved as a soldier during Second World War out in India. And a man was paying tribute to him at his funeral. And as speaking of his life, he quoted the words of 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the man giving tribute said, as soon as he come home from the army, his life was changed. And he lived the rest of his days doing all that he could to spread the gospel, to spread the good news of Jesus who is mighty to save. That's how it was with Patrick. Oh, Christian, if you want to follow in his footsteps, be a man of prayer, be a woman of prayer. Do all you can to spread the gospel, to spread the word of God. Yes, you'll be following Patrick's example. But not only will you be following Patrick's example, you'll be obeying your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. For what did Jesus say before he ascended up into heaven? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you're not saved tonight, be ye young, be ye old. It's the same gospel that you need. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If you come to him by faith, repenting of your sin, confessing your sins to him, trusting in him and his finished work upon the cross of Calvary alone for your salvation, then the Lord Jesus Christ will take you and he'll save you by his grace and power. He'll make you a new creature and he'll take you one day to heaven and he will use you here on earth for his honor and for his glory. How is it with you tonight? Are you saved? Do you know Christ? Oh, that you would know him and trust him tonight. And if you are saved, that you would give yourself to prayer and give yourself to the spreading of the word of God, to the glorious gospel of Christ. We're just